Welcome to the Daily Combat Podcast. The Daily Combat Podcast is brought to you, as always, by Olympic hopeful turned boxer and all-round sporting polymath, Isabella Rossitano, arm wrestling influencer, Hollywood Matt Connolly, and combat sports ring announcer, Dave Stockbridge. So join Izzy, Dave, and Matt as we talk about the world of combat sports on this episode of the Daily Combat Podcast. Hello everybody, Hollywood Matt Connolly here. Just wanted to give a quick word of warning. This episode does discuss topics related to sexual assault. This comes up quite quickly in this episode and remains a strong theme as to Natalie Stone's journey and the way that she was able to overcome a horrible incident that took place. So I just needed to put that warning out there for anyone that is sensitive to this type of discussion. This episode is probably not one that you want to be listening to, but for everybody that is interested in hearing somebody overcoming adversity and becoming stronger because of it, then this is a very powerful episode, and we really appreciate having Natalie Stone come in and tell her story. So without further ado, we will get into the episode. Enjoy. Hello everybody, this is Hollywood Matt Connolly. I am here with one of the greatest entrepreneurs I've ever met. This lady is doing so many different things at once. It's Natalie Stone. Stone Strength. She's got an apparel line happening, powerlifting, photographer, a PT, set up her own studio and own house. There's so many things you're doing all at once. And did you say you're doing another thing as well? You're starting another business?
Yeah, so helping small businesses actually survive, because the amount of personal trainers that are coming into the world now just get eaten alive.
Oh yeah.
They don't know how to advertise themselves. They don't know how to do the photography. They go and spend up to $7,000 on social media coaches and they don't actually learn how to be themselves.
Yep.
And so that's for me, one of the biggest things as a trainer is just be you. And then people will come to you, because every single PT I meet is how do you get clients? It's you don't get clients. Clients come to you.
Yeah.
So how did you get to the point where you're now coaching personal trainers and coaches how to find new clients? Where did your gym journey begin? Were you really active as a kid? Were you a sporty kid?
As a kid, I used to play tennis, but I only really played tennis hardcore because if I won a tennis match, my parents would buy me a Star Wars action figure as a prize.
Wow. Okay, so Matt. This would have been a tremendous incentive for Matt as well. So yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty much where it started. Was when I was a kid, Mum was like.
So what did you love more, tennis or Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Okay, so this was 100%. The big incentive. So Mum and Dad are maybe we can have that millionaire lifestyle when she's number one in the world when she's 15, yeah. And she'll just have this huge Star Wars collection and be just as happy. This is a win-win.
Completely hates tennis but loves the Star
Wars.
I've got a pretty nice Star Wars collection. I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, so sporting wise as a kid, I was pretty active playing tennis. And then I started studying at university. And so then obviously everything goes off the table when you go to uni. And I was studying film and digital media. And at that time, I had zero interest in health at all. And because you're a broke uni student, you need a job. So I then went and got a job at a little cafe down at Brighton. And I was just a fryer cook.
Yep.
And then from there, the sous chef didn't rock up one night, I think. I can't exactly remember. And they needed someone to cook the pastas. And the guy was you're Italian. Can you come cook for us? And I was
you're qualified.
Yeah. I was that just cemented it. So I was okay. So I was so young. I think it was only 20 or 19 or 20. Never been in a kitchen. And this was a full-blown kitchen. And I started cooking probably pans within the first week or two of me being there, plus then doing the takeaway fryers as well. So since I was really young, it's always been go, go, go with multiple different things. So to some people, it seems like I do crazy amounts of stuff, but really to me, it's very normal to be doing that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then because you're a chef, It's like your lifestyle is horrible.
Yes.
It's you very literally difficult. Just eat hot chips yeah. all day. Chuck some nuggies in. You know, that's pretty much what we... It's like, wow. What's a tomato? Like, we'll put tomatoes on other people's salads, but yeah. But
it is so hard for chefs with the split shifts, like socially as well as nutritionally and just everything. Your life's a bit upside down, isn't
it? It's quite a volatile industry. And, like, to me, I had a very bad experience in it. So I was a chef for 9 years.
Right. Wow. Okay.
So I nearly hit the 10-year mark. Like, I was working really, really hard in hospo. And I'm just going to, like, throw a trigger warning out there for, like, assault and abuse. But pretty much what's triggered all of this in the last four years was that my head chef, he was my best friend at that time's husband. Mm-hmm. He was sexually assaulting and abusing me for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
And it was ongoing. And I was young. I didn't understand what was going on. I kept
How quiet. Old were you at the time?
I think it was just before my 25th birthday. So, and it was really bad. I didn't understand what to do, and my bosses didn't even help with just the general harassment that I was going through. And harassment and bullying is a really, you know, serious thing in the workplace that isn't taken serious enough by employers at all. And then one night he took it a little bit too far and he attempted to rape me. Oh, and that took my entire life and, like... So the next day I rocked up for my shift because I didn't understand what happened. And, like, my life has just kind of always had these beats where something saved it. And someone walked into the kitchen that night. And that's the only reason why nothing happened that night. And I'm very lucky that it didn't. I went into work the next day and I saw he changed the roster. And I will never forget that moment. It was like I saw he changed the rosters and I was alone with him on quite a few shifts. And my brain went bang. It just, like, it felt like it split in two. And then I became a pretty much brain-dead mess from then. So long story short, it's taken just over 3 years to fully recover from that one moment in time. Mm. And so, like, I then obviously, like, I couldn't work. I was lucky to have support networks. But I gained over 40 kilos, nearly 45 kilos. I ballooned up to about, I saw over 135 kilos on the scales. Mm-hmm. And, like, it would have gone further than that because it was horrendous. And now through just genuine, just, I guess, dedication and hard work, now I'm here. Mm. So I'm a pretty big advocate when it comes to, like, talking about mental health and mental health issues and supporting people in the workplace and making sure that we have safe spaces for people because, like, I know what it's like to be let down. Mm. And I guess, like, it's really great to be on here today because then I get to talk with you guys and whoever's listening about how even though you can have the most cataclysmic moment happen in your life and you think it is literally over, it isn't. Because you get to reset, rebuild, and then just go forward in this whole new direction. And if you dream hard enough, you can make it happen. And that's exactly why we're here today. And I walked in a random costume. So.
Of which we have some part of here on the table now and the gloves they're in. So from that moment of real trauma, and you said that there was a period of time where you just felt numb afterwards and during that time, like, you were just kind of indulging in food and a bit and the escapism in order just to, you know, clear your mind or cloud your mind sometimes, you know, you're not quite sure. Was there a moment when you felt yourself breaking away from that numbness and started to feel like you started to become more the person that we see today?
Yeah, so I was very so pretty much to start at the start of that question is that I became heavily addicted to just, like, junk food and pharmaceutical medication because, like, the main thing for doctors is to kind of just, like, medicate us, give us whatever medications out there. And I had to take meds to go to sleep, to get up, to function, to get through two parts of my day, then go back to sleep. So there was, like, handfuls all the time.
And how old are you? You're 25, 26
I was nearly 25 because I remember I had my 25th birthday before I went under and I didn't really see anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at my 25th birthday where I hadn't actually seen myself. I didn't look at myself in the mirror. And my friends and family, especially my parents, they are so beautiful. Everyone was really supportive of what happened and they were really understanding of what happened. But then that was kind of like my goodbye because I didn't want to have to involve anyone about what I was going through because I wanted to focus on recovery. Like I was dead set serious about changing my life. And I saw this photo. My friend sent me this photo of me with my family and I didn't look like me. I looked dead in the eyes. I was severely overweight and unhealthy. I was severely unhealthy and I couldn't even like walk from my couch. I was that unhealthy. And so I went and I was like, I got to change my life. I got to change my shit. And at that time I was training at the warehouse still and everyone there was so supportive. I'm in touch with everyone there still. The gym's closed, but a lot of those people are still really close friends. And I just really dedicated to my training. But the thing is, if I wanted to train, like just lift weights in general, I had to be awake, but I couldn't because I was so dependent on the meds. And so then training led me to go, okay, I worked with my doctor, always work with your doctor. I worked with my doctor to start dropping my dosage and then I worked with a trainer to then work on my fitness because you're trying to lift stuff.
Mm.
You're so heavy and you can't move. I then focused on, okay, how do I start shifting this weight? And then I fell into the powerlifting world and it freaking caught me and then I've been in there ever since. So it's been a really, really intense journey.
So it sounds like you really disconnected from a lot of the people that were important to in your life whilst you were trying to get yourself better. It sounds like you really took it upon yourself to go inward to try and find some of those answers.
It was horrible. It was horrible.
Would you do it the same again, do you think?
I would probably communicate better with people. I understand now the importance of communication and I would put like, because I was costuming at that point too and presenting at Oz Comic Con and Avcon and all that sort of stuff. So I had quite a social media following back then and to go from pulling out of events to pulling out of everything because I just couldn't do it, it was quite concerning for a lot of people. But the thing is, no one took it personally, which was lovely.
Yeah.
They all understood because I actually shared what happened. I didn't hide it because I'm like, this is what happened to me. I just need time.
Mm.
And the support networks were so good in that. I just think the one thing that I wish I knew how to do back then was communicate. But I was diagnosed fresh with PTSD, depression, anxiety and adjustment disorder. And I couldn't speak. So
incredible.
It was – so for me to be able to sit across from you and have a conversation and feel comfortable – zero anxiety to have walked past those really nice guys before and not be bothered. It's a really, really big step. And now I'm actually owning that. And that's why Own Your Strength is like the tagline for Stone Strength. Yeah. Because it's like from that moment I saw that photo, I was like, fuck you, I'm going to do this. So incredible. Yeah, fuck you to myself. Like, also to that guy.
Yeah. And so you start down this powerlifting path and who were you coming across in this journey that served as inspirations for you?
You know what, the people around me inspired me and like it was so cool because she's one of my closest friends, Jade. I'm just going to drop her name and I'll send this to her, but I remember
hi Jade
she walked into the warehouse and like she was just so cool. And she was so strong. And there was this other girl there, Nay. She was so awesome and strong. And there were, like, other people there. And we were a close community. So we all became really close friends. We all competed together and stuff like that. And I just remember watching a guy deadlift. Like, he was crazy strong. And I remember I turned to my coach and said, I want to do that. He's like, oh, there's a powerlifting meet in a couple weeks. And I was like, oh, that sounds like fun. I don't know what the fuck that means. But, okay, let's see how we go. And one of the main things in powerlifting is that you can't wear a hat. So I actually have alopecia. And it's like the whole, do you mind if I show you just like quickly? Just can cut the camera. But so like the whole top of my head, when that event happened, pretty much all my hair fell out. Because the stress from that singular moment was so bad that it just fell out. Wow. And it's never really been able to grow back. And every time I try to go back, something would trigger it and then it'll fall out again. I've been lucky the last couple of months since moving into my own home that and like starting the business that it hasn't been triggered. But yeah, so the one thing in powerlifting is that in like sanctioned feds, you can't wear a hat. You have a soft suit. You have competition requirements. So I went straight into a novice meet and wore the hat, did the thing. They made an exception. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And I like this. The people I met, like there's friends that I've made, like I still talk to them today. I even photograph their businesses now. It's that cool. I met on that day. And if I didn't step massively outside that comfort zone, like seriously challenge every single aspect of my body, that wouldn't have happened. And it was so cool to step up. And then, yeah, now I compete at a national level. I haven't for a while because COVID, but a lot of us haven't been able to because of COVID. But, yeah, so.
And why powerlifting?
I don't know. There's a lot of strength sports out there, but I think it was the discipline. Yep. It required so much discipline and like perfection
mental strength.
Yeah. And I think because nothing could be happening in your mind when you're lifting heavy, otherwise you're going to get hurt. So for me, when I was squatting, benching and deadlifting, nothing else was happening in my head other than focus.
Yeah.
And I just remembered I just post videos, like my coach encouraged me to share my training videos. And then I slowly started growing in the sport. And then we did our first comp, like I did my first sanctioned meet. And I remember standing there going, this is the sport for me for life. Like I loved it. I felt it in that moment, like before I stepped on the platform for the first time in a sanctioned comp, when I couldn't wear the hat. I was completely exposed as like feeling, that's my biggest, you know, anxiety driver. Cause as a young female, like, having your hair fall out, having your eyelashes fall out, it's really messed up. And so to find a world that accepted you for you and to have people and around you for you, not because, you know, you're the hot friend on a Saturday night to have around, you're actually someone who they want to be around for you. So that's why powerlifting, I think, has really become something that is the main thing in my life. And yeah, there's nothing like going to a powerlifting meet. It's loud. You get to yell motivationally at people. It's sweaty. There's lollies and candy. It's just like...
You can slap people on the back.
Oh, my God. The back slaps. There was a meet just a few weeks ago, a powerlifting comp, and the guys were hitting each other in the back so hard. They had like the
welts.
The little welts. Yeah. Wow. I've been slapped once by my training mate.
Never again.
I was like, whoa. So never again.
Yeah, that ain't helping.
That one time, Hoover, that one time, that's it. So,
yeah. Have you tried the smelling salt stuff?
Only once, and I will not do that again. I've never
used it, but I've seen people like, heavy lift and stuff.
Yeah, they go hard. What is it?
Ammonia or something?
Yeah, so it's ammonia. So it wakes them up, and sometimes there's like ones that have different strengths, and sometimes it feels like you're being punched in the face. So
wow.
Yeah, someone thought as a joke they'd like open it up and just like shove it under my nose, and I was like, that's the only time I've ever done it because I was like, no, I'm good. Yeah, right. So I'm even like weak when it comes to pre-workouts. So yeah, I'm so caffeine sensitive.
Right.
I had a green tea before coming in, then I was calm.
So if you, it's the opposite, you know, you need to chill out before a big lift and just
pretty much, yeah, because anxiety was something that I dealt so, like, I had to deal with every
second
of the day.
You're already up there, like, yeah. So you had to, yeah.
And so powerlifting really taught me how to control that anxiety. And because, like, I was up so much, the depression kind of went away, like, kind of just stayed back. But whilst I had that anxiety to deal with, it was just free natural adrenaline, essentially. So... yeah, it was.
And have you felt the symptoms that came as a result of the trauma that you experienced? Do you recall what sequence those symptoms dropped off? Like, was it, because different people suggest that different points, you know, they'll find something will wash away all of a sudden.
Yeah, that, like, I'm going to say it was like I woke up one day and I felt awake. So I was really lucky to have the psychologist that I did. I worked with her for my first year with her for 2 days a week for a full year. Like
This was after the trauma?
This is pretty much a few weeks after. Like they got me, my doctor I'd been seeing since I was a kid, got me straight in with her.
Right.
And it was very, like, no one was blasé about it.
Yep.
It was dead set serious. And so I was very lucky to have that support from her. And we did CBT, mindfulness, a lot of, like, so the cognitive brain therapy, so CBT, that was something that massively helped with learning how to control the anxiety and, like, breathing techniques. Plus lifting. That was pretty much my entire life. She just said, dedicate to one thing, and I want it to be that. And so I felt I'm pretty sure like the adjustment disorder dipped off first. So I didn't struggle socially because I was in such a safe social space because powerlifting is quite a close knit community. The depression was able to be managed because I was constantly training. It gave me something, it gave me a purpose.
Yeah.
And so from that purpose, I then, you know, if I wanted to do that, I did dedicate. And so that then helped with the anxiety get alleviated because I was able to keep myself going. And then I was able to keep going. And because I was rocking up to training, I'd get my program from my coach. I'd write it in my notebook. I still have those notebooks from way back. And so she encouraged me to write in the notebooks and track everything. So then I was just completely in the zone. There was nothing else. So the anxiety didn't have a chance to come in. And I guess with the PTSD, that's something that it doesn't go away. So sometimes it can be triggered. It could be a sentence. It could be even a time of year, even like from the date. It's almost like my brain has this clock in it. And but ever since doing the lifting and the powerlifting and really focusing on, you know, big words like dedication, sacrifice, purpose, you know, like, you know, Flag No Fail, like Rob Bailey, those guys, like I really started to listen to how they spoke about training and fitness and how Dana Lynn Bailey, who's, you know, the most pro bodybuilder in the world, you know, how she spoke about fitness and health. And so I started listening to those people. And as soon as I did that and I aligned myself with people who were on the same level, it started dropping away. And then one morning I woke up and I went, I'm going to fucking change my shit. And I started then a photography business. And that photography business was from powerlifting. So,
right, okay.
Yeah, I shot powerlifting meets. Awesome. I just took my camera to local meets and I took photos that's it.
I'm super interested. How did that thought occur to you? And did that thought come from outside of you or was it something that was always inside of you?
I'd always done photography as a kid. I actually did stop motion animation because I wanted to work for Wallace and Gromit.
was it with Star Wars figurine?
It was Star Wars Lego. There's in the there's little Star Wars Lego in the depths of YouTube. Oh. There's a Star Wars Lego stop motion. So, yeah. Cool. So since I was a kid, I was massively into film, and it's all my dad's fault because he showed me. He showed me Star Wars when I was little and I fell in love with cinema. And so through high school, I studied stop motion. And so photography and media has always been a part of my life. Mm-hmm. And so picking up the camera again was just something I did for, you know, getting creative to get it as an out.
And had you stopped doing that for a while while you were chefing?
Yeah, chefing completely killed that. Completely killed it. And
so it's like a reconnecting to where you were a little bit before that.
I massively reconnected to my childhood in a way.
Mm.
And I had the support of 618 Barbell, which is out Paracas. So that was where I started my powerlifting journey, essentially. And I was shooting their meets for a solid 2 years. Every single meet I went.
Wow.
And I went from just being able to sit on the sidelines and kind of just shoot to traveling around Australia doing photography. And I've got photos in gyms all over Australia from powerlifting meets.
Incredible.
So, yeah, it was – it literally was like one morning I woke up and I was like, I got to change my shit. And I was like, oh, I just want to do some photography. And just from that, I'm going to do some photography, got me invited to go out to shoot nationals in Melbourne and, you know, go and work for clothing lines and shoot for clothing lines. And so, no joke, guys, everything has kind of just like – all kind of come together into this streamline.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I believe there's like some, I don't know, ooky spooky forces out there that's really pushed for this to happen. Yeah, so
it always seems to be that if you start heading in some direction by taking action and it's like, I'm going to do this. Mm. And it's like, how do I do this thing? If I want to be a photographer, if I want to start a business, it's like, okay, well, I need to find someone to take photos of or find a thing. And it's like, then you start doing it. And the people there go, oh, you're the photographer. Oh, can you come again next week? Or we've got a thing. And they're like, yeah. And
it literally went from zero to 100. And I didn't have time to feel the effects of PTSD and all the anxiety. It kind of washed away because, like, I'd be in an event and people come up and talk to me and be like, hey, thanks for taking photos. I'm like, that's okay. And then as soon as I started sharing the photos, and, like, I'd take hundreds of shots at just the local meets. And then when I now started doing, like, sanctioned meets and stuff interstate, it was thousands of photos. And so I've met thousands of people over the last, you know, 4 to 5 years doing this. And it's like you rock up to a meet and you just shake someone's hand who bought your photo, you know, from a comp like 2 years ago or something like that. And now you're friends. And it's pretty amazing to meet people without meeting people like, I'm like, oh, I've taken your photo. You've bought my photo. Oh, it's in your gym. Oh, my God. The domino effect of it all is like, it's like I try and not say my life revolved around the sport, but it really did to get me out. And now we're here.
So. Yeah. I'm fond of saying that life's made up of moments, and certainly some of those moments are full of trauma and pain. And it now seems like you're capturing moments that are important to other people. And when they're coming up to you, it may be because they've had that photo sitting up on their screensaver. They look at it every day, or it's a special moment for them you're able to be a part of.
Absolutely, because those moments were moments they were like me, where they were having to overcome something to step onto that platform. They'd post this photo and they would give me they would post the story about why that photo meant something to them.
Wow.
And I would just be like, oh my God, these people are being moved to change their lives, seeing themselves on that platform, because like it's
amazing. That something like, are you feeling like you're intrinsically, you understand that there's something special going in that moment, even though you don't know the story, you know there is a story.
And you can see that
feeling.
It.
Yeah.
You see it in their eyes. Like not everyone is exactly the same. Some people have lives that have been, you know, they've had a lot of shit happen in them. And you can see in some people's eyes before they step up onto that platform, you're like, that guy, that girl, that person, they've been through something. They have like fought their ass off to have to be able to even be standing there. And it is absolutely exceptional watching people step up and do that. And so most people get inspired by like famous people, and like I've got those big names that inspire me, but at the end of the day, it's like the local people around here that like just supported me as a person, but me being able to see what they do, that's what inspires me. Is like the mum that, you know, she's looking after 4 kids, but then she goes to the gym after picking them up from school, cooking them dinner, all that sort of thing. She's studying as well, but she goes to the gym at like 10 o'clock at night. Then she competes at a national level. So like, I love people like that. There's so many people I meet like that at meets, and I'm like, I love that I get to shake their hand, and I'm like, your work ethic is the absolute best.
Incredible.
And then that motivates me to work harder, because I'm like, oh my God, if they can do it, I can too. So now I try and set that example for myself through my own businesses to be able to motivate people to do that too.
And as you talk about your own businesses as well, it seems like photography has really been a thread throughout your life, and now a skill set that you've been able to apply commercially.
Massively. Yeah. Massively. Photoshop and photography, all those skills that I learned in high school, and just in general practicing, like it's led to being able to launch my own apparel line. So like the stuff that I do costs thousands of dollars to get someone to do. And instead I'm like, oh, I'll just do it myself, because like, it literally started because I got a sample print of a t-shirt design and it looked like shit. It was a digital print. It was heinous. I was like, I'm not selling this and putting this my logo on that. And so I went, how do I do this myself? I went on YouTube. I got YouTube Premium. Love YouTube. And I learned just from watching this guy screen printing and doing like heat transfers with vinyl, how he was doing it. And then I went, okay, I need that machine. I need that piece of equipment. I need that table to put that on there. I need all of this. I went and bought it. And then,
so you're not outsourcing, you're doing all of this. This is happening
literally all,
in your little factory.
Yeah. So it's like designed. So I design everything. So I do everything in Photoshop myself. And then it goes obviously onto a shirt, gets cut, the machine cuts it, press it, shoot it in the studio, make mock-ups, do everything, like do instead of doing just like a white background, get nice high-res marble backgrounds, make everything look like, you know, look amazing. Schmick, just make it look amazing. Because like apparel to me isn't just like clothes, it's a chance to be able to send a positive message to someone. Like someone might be having a really shit day and they might be wearing something, like the person in front of them might be wearing a t-shirt with a positive message and be like, oh my God, yeah, I can do this. And so that was the main idea.
Well, they see Judge Dredd walk down the road. Right. What have I just done?
I wish I could wear that every day. It's literally my favorite. It actually is like on a mannequin in my studio gym.
Just yeah. In the corner watching. Just yeah. And judging.
Judging. People one more rep. Like,
that's right. Press the button. That was not a full rep.
Partial reps do not count.
That's right. What was the slogan for... Yeah, that's right. The stone strength. You said there was the slogan. What was it again?
Own your strength.
Own your strength.
There own you your go. Strength and never fucking quit. Oh, those are my two. So it's like, it started like...
Before we go any further, yeah. Website please. Because people will be wanting to check this out as you're talking about it. So throw it out there and then you can Google at home whilst we're talking about it and you can see all the cool stuff that we're talking about.
So stonestrengthpt.com.au. Okay. Yeah. So
head over to the store.
Head over to the store. I'm actually launching my the new apparel line this Sunday. Oh. Its pre-order is open for 2 weeks. No pressure on cutting this too quick, Matt.
But if you could get it out by tonight, that'd be great. Yes.
There's like, it'll be opened again up like probably in January again because it's so hard to keep stock because I do this like in my home.
Yeah.
So
this is literally handmade.
Yeah.
I mean like.
And quality too.
Someone made a joke the other day. They're like, do you grow the cotton? And my answer was.
I'm working on it.
Sorry. Because, like, cut and sew, like, I look at cut and sew and I'm just, like, I aspire to that. And, like, I've been doing this with a friend as well. Like, I've had someone, like, on board helping me.
Wonderful.
And there's a lot of people involved in this. Like, from, like, my dad laying the mats in the studio to cutting it perfectly to, like, people over in the US. Like, I've got friends over there I talk to if I need help with, like, visuals or something like that. Or I have a friend who comes in and helps me, like, do the printing and pressing and then, like, training friends. So it's not just, like... As much as I'm one person, so many people have helped build me up to be in this place. Mm. And that's why we've got, like, the unicorn, because the unicorn is, like, a massive call to arms of, like, you have to take a risk to find that strength. And if you take that risk and then you just follow that path of purpose, you get to just create, you know, reality out of a dream. Mm. So, yeah.
Oh, so that's the unicorn. Yeah. That's the logo.
That's
so
my logo.
It's trademarked.
I trademarked this on the 1st of this year.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, it's double trademarked. So if I ever don't want to have, like, the stone strength part, it's like I can drop that off and the unicorn is just there.
Very cool.
Should I tell you guys the cool story about the lady at the airport who was the unicorn? Yeah. So, like... It's not just a unicorn.
There is a real unicorn.
There's an actual real unicorn. So this is back when I was really sick. I think this was like 2018 or 19. I think it was 2019 Nationals. I was heading over to photograph the GPC Australia powerlifting nats over in Melbourne. And this was like the first time I was flying alone. And at that time I was heavily medicated. I had literally no money. I was living off the $10 I'd make from like selling some local photos and living with my parents who let me live there. Like my parents are the most beautiful people on this planet. And I was sitting at the airport freaking out and I messaged my friend going, I can't do this. I'm not getting on that plane. And I'm like, I can't get on the fucking plane. And I was sitting on the floor. I was stuck. I was so anxious and I was near tears. And then she's like, I don't know, look for a fucking unicorn. That's what the message said. She's like, look for a fucking...
She sent you a text message, look for the unicorn.
And I looked up, and I'm not shitting you, there was this lady sitting on a chair with a fluffy unicorn head.
Yeah, fuck off.
She was going to Mardi Gras in Berlin, and just chilling out. And I was like, there's a unicorn. And she's like, what did you take? I'm like, nothing. And I'm like, oh my God. So yeah.
Is your friend like, you go, I knew the unicorn.
The unicorn was there.
Would provide the way.
It was such a crazy moment of just like the universe holding me. And this lady then came over because we made eye contact. She's like, why are you sitting on the floor? Don't be down there. She's like, come sit with me. And then our flight got delayed. And then we got talking and stuff like that. And then she's like, obviously something has happened to you that she could tell just because I didn't want to look her in the eye. I was really shy and just really quiet. And I kind of just told her very briefly what had happened to me so she could kind of understand. Mm. And she said to me, one day you'll get the chance to tell your story and one day none of this will actually be holding you down ever again.
Mm.
It will give you power. It will empower you. And I just remember her speaking to me with this amazing drive and I could just feel it. And there's this freaking unicorn head next to me. And I was like, it was purple and pink and white. And I was like, okay, guys. And she led me onto the plane. So I wasn't getting on the plane on my own. The flight crew, like she explained to them because I was really, really unwell. And I remember getting off the plane and like saying goodbye to this person. And she completely changed my life. Like that whole, that moment of just someone listening and helping. I didn't know at that time how powerful that moment is. But now I make sure I do that with my own business, especially with my personal training and coaching, that I take the time to hold someone in a safe space so they know that they're okay, that it's okay to feel the way they are, it's completely valid, and that they are now able to completely dream up a whole new future. So personal training with me isn't just PT. It's like it's going, right, that bad shit happened, now we're going to use it. Yeah. So and now the unicorn is like, I've told that story and the unicorn's evolved over a period of time to being just like, just the line art because I didn't want to put color in it because now it can be whatever color I want it to be. It's not going to just be one thing. So in a way, I am that. It can mean something
different to everybody now.
Exactly. So they can fill it with whatever color they want. And it's not just, you know, it's not just for that. It represents my photography, my media, my PT, the apparel, like the ebooks that are coming out soon. And like, I would love to have a meal prep company because I understand how hard it is for people with mental health to be able to just eat and to be able to give them alternatives to binging and have not shitty 1100 cal meal plans that people throw people to help them out. Like actually go, this is what works because like, if I could have gone from that completely destroyed human being, like I couldn't even walk to my kitchen to doing all of this.
Mm.
Like anyone can.
Yeah.
Anyone can. It just comes down to like making sure you have the right people around you and self-belief.
And so do you feel like now the unicorn symbolizes what it was to you when you looked up looking for a unicorn? Mm. Now anybody can look up and see your unicorn and see a way.
Yeah. They can see a way out. They can see a way forward, I should say, not a way out, a way forward. It's like progress is one of my biggest things. And I think because I really, I like to say I'm a very driven and dedicated person. Like once I want to do something, I go and do it. So I said to my parents, it was like March 2020 when we had the lockdown and stuff happen. I said, in 12 months, I'm going to open my own studio. And they're like looking at gyms being shut first, the fact that we were in a global lockdown, all of this stuff. And I was like, I'm going to open a gym in 12 months. And my parents were like, okay. Like they're just supportive. Like, okay, dear, no worries. Fast forward to 12 months exact. I quit my job because I was working, managing three university gyms. I was assistant managing three university gyms. And I quit my job and I opened my business pretty much 12 months after I said that to my parents.
Incredible.
Yeah. But I had to spend 12 months learning how to do what I didn't know.
So you open up a gym in the depths of the pandemic as well?
Yeah, I know.
Amongst other things?
I know.
Just as a side.
Now, that's like, usually enough to give people PTSD.
I was just like, I just said no. I was like, I'm not letting this stop my dreams. Like I had a huge vision for it to not just being a studio at the front of my house. Like I really wanted it to be a location. And so I said to my mom the other day, because I trained my mom, it's super cute. I like looked her in the eye and I was like, Diane, I'm going to open a studio exactly 12 months after this. And she was like, she just has to like breathe. I call her by her first name. Like even when she like comes in or leaves, I'm like, bye Diane. And clients are like, isn't that your mom? I'm like, yeah. She chill, really? She chill.
Like always done that.
No, oh. I just when I'm
just
cocky.
When you're training, like when you're the boss, you can get away with it. Yeah,
absolutely. Any other time, it's like it's weird. It's like, good job, mom. It's like, you know, like, go Diane. You know,
go Diane.
She's so strange. She's so cool. She's even done powerlifting meets.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. She's done, I think
she's done. You got her into it then? Or
she wanted to do it because I was super into it and I guess wanted to be supportive. And then my coach at that time then coached my mom. And then I realized, wow, I really love helping people do this. And a lot of people in the fitness industry who are training and competing, I would love to be a coach. You know, I would love what I'm doing and sharing this. And then I went, I want this to actually be my life.
Mm.
So I didn't want to just be a personal trainer because...
Did you kind of feel at this stage it was all just a bunch of hobbies, or was it starting to coalesce in your mind as, okay, well, this is actually, there is a commercial aspect to this and maybe this can be my income and my little empire?
It pretty much was when someone wanted me to coach them online. And I was like, yeah, like, I guess I could, because he really loved the story. Like, he it's not even a story. It was my life. He resonated with what I went through. And then I thought, I'm going to become a personal trainer. So whilst I was in recovery, I had the option to upskill because I didn't want to go back into hospitality. And so I upskilled. I did my Cert 4 in PT. And during that time, people laughed at me a lot when I said I was starting to be a personal trainer. Even now, people look me up and down. They don't know that the weight I carry is because of a traumatic event. They just judge me on the outside. They don't know the excessive studies and everything else that I've done and, like, the competing. They just look at the outside. And I actually love that now that I get – I love that because
– Does it create an opportunity for you to share more?
A massive opportunity to educate. And that's essentially, like, when I started really going, I actually really want to do this because this person's laughed at me. And just the way that people I looked up to as well, like people I really looked up to judged me, and that broke my soul massively. And then I was like, you're only helping me because I'm a dollar sign to you. And that's when I vowed I would never be that trainer. And I made an eternal promise to be the PT and coach that I've always wanted. And I put that into everything that I did, especially like when I had to learn how to, you know, I want to open a gym. How do you open a gym? How do you run a gym? Get a job in a gym. So I stepped into an assistant manager role, and that's where I really went, this is my life, because I really loved it. And like a member found out I had alopecia, right? And he shaved his head because I had to shave my head, and he shaved his head in support. He came in one day. His name was Jackie. And he was like, nah, I'm going to shave my head. I was like, mate, you don't have to shave your head. Like, it's okay. He felt so bad that my hair had fallen out. And I was like, man, don't worry. He's like, no, I'm meeting my girlfriend's parents this weekend, then I'll shave my head. I was like, okay, that's a random thing, but okay. And he came in the next week with a shaved head. So the amount of people who, yes, it's such a judgmental industry, and it's really changing now, where people are being more outspoken about their experiences and body image and all of that. And there's this, I feel the shift happening because of the way that like my clientele is growing and the message is growing. And I'm like, yeah, this is a job for life. You don't just step into being a PT for quick cash. That's the shittest mindset.
Yeah.
Some people have that mindset of, oh, you know, get $50 a week, you know, easy. It's like you're handling people's lives, their mental health, their physical health, you know, potential injuries, managing injuries. And it's not just, you know, it's not easy. And there's so many PTs out there that really make the industry really bad. But then there are people out there who make it really good. And so there's this huge shift happening. And so, yeah, I think I was always meant to do this. It's just that we had to go through all that to get to here.
It was a long road.
2017. That's why it's like, I've put on the shirt 2017 is that it's not when the business started, it's when I started, because I am the business in a sense.
It's when this new chapter began.
Absolutely.
And you're doing it successfully too. Didn't you say that your business is doing better than what you were doing when you were working full time?
Step us through it sounds like you're quite the business polymath at the moment, and you've got a few irons in the fire. So what are the tentacles of your empire currently?
Get a book, hang on.
I have Stone Industries Universal. So that used to be called Stone Creative Media. That was something that I started at the start, but now Stone Industries Universal is my media business. So that's where my photography sits. The apparel printing line is sitting in there too. Mm-hmm. That's why it's called Universal. And it's industrial. So it's like it encompasses anything.
Right.
And future-wise, it might be the name of something.
So if you're developing, say, powerlifting accessories or like – for instance, hypothetically, it would sit into that.
Yeah. Okay. So if someone wanted to come and get T-shirts printed by me, it would sit under that. And then I could shoot it, I can photograph it, do their mock-ups. They don't have to go through, you know, all these different systems. It's all just done right there. And it's done by someone who is obsessed about quality control.
Mm.
So we've got the photography and media sitting in there, the apparel.
And sorry, just on that. So is that for athletes or people, personal trainers who are looking to grow their business through better quality content?
Absolutely. Right. 100%.
Yeah.
It's for people who are needing to have that media support. It's because, like, it's so then it's not just like a T-shirt going to them.
Yeah.
They're getting the mock-up, they're getting the message, they're getting a professional photo shoot that come with it so they can bring their clients to a location. We can do a photo shoot of them in the apparel that, like, I've printed. And I know that quality control is there and that, like, stuff isn't going to peel and it's just going to be beautiful. And so then they're not just getting a T-shirt sent to them from some random in Sydney. It's like they get everything.
Mm.
Because I wish I had that support when I started my business. Yeah. And so I want to give that to people who are either starting up or established businesses.
So even if they're developing their own brand, for instance, you'll work with them and
absolutely.
I'll
tell them exactly how it's done. And it's not by some magic Instagram formulation, like that stuff that you pay $6,000 for.
We're doing it all wrong.
No, there are methods to it, but it's about coming across authentic.
Mm.
It's about teaching people how to relax in themselves and to be not worried about being themselves, because people are really, I don't know what it is. It's just like they're just afraid to chill, you know? Like they're afraid to really own themselves and say, this happened to me. The amount of times that like someone will just slide into my DMs and say, this happened to me, I wish I could speak about it. And there's someone that should be speaking about it because they have a platform where they can inspire people. And I'm like, yo, like talk about it. Yeah. The more we talk about it, the more people are going to heal.
Mm.
And so that's why Stone Industries Universal is there, because then that's the universal business to be able to help hold anyone and then help brands, people create brands and stuff like that and become their own brand. And it's really exciting when I get an email from like a photography client and say, hey, we've had signups this week because your photos on our website have worked. Wow. They've seen the gym or they've seen our trainers and they can see the vibe. And they've got members out of that. And I'm just sitting there like, my job is so cool. Like, that's the coolest thing, because my job isn't one thing. And people think it's a lot because, like, then there's, like, the personal training side of things. But, like, that's all held within that world as well.
Yeah.
Like, with the photography and the media and being yourself. And the one thing that sits in it, obviously, is the coaching side of things. And that's why we've got Stone Strength PT, is that that's the – like sort of partner business, a brand to it. So then it's able to then support something else, because like everything sitting under the one roof is a little bit too much. So
yeah,
I kind of just went beep and it just flows. Mm. So, and it's really cool to be able to just like, I have PT clients who are trainers themselves,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll be like, hey, I need a photo shoot for my socials. I'll be like, sweet. And we'll book in, bang.
Beautiful.
And even, oh my God, I have to say my client, she's my maternity client, so I'm also a qualified pre- and postnatal trainer.
Ah.
So one of my closest friends, Nicole, she fell pregnant, and I was like, I can't train you, I'm not qualified. She's like, well, what do we do? I'm like, I'm like, no, I'll get qualified. So I studied, I did the work, and then I trained her throughout a whole pregnancy. She gives me no excuse.
Hmm.
She trained twice a week throughout her whole pregnancy and didn't miss a single session.
Wow.
Not a single session. The only session she missed was because I got sick because I got bit by a spider. And she still holds that over my head. and then now she's back training with Angus. He's my bestie. And so she brings Angus in. So it's a safe space for mums too to be able to train. So it's about literally being universal across the board, just supportive, because I know what it was like to not have the support, and now I get to do that, and that's my job.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do every single day, and it's just cool.
So to the outside world, it might look like you've got all of these disparate things going on, but in essence...
It's so organised.
You're the so essentially cool. The glue that holds it all together, and they're all kind of parts of you, aren't they?
Yeah, and that's why it's cool. That's why I encourage people to, if they're an artist, be an artist. And, like, don't worry about, like, your logos and stuff like that. Just do you. Like, I'm lucky I have my logo because I met that person. But it's like if you just do you... And people come to you for you. You don't need the fancy socials. You just put yourself out there and just talk about things. Like, if you've had a bad day, talk about the bad day. If you've experienced bullying in the workplace, talk about how you managed it. HR failed you, quit your job, go follow your dreams. And, like, as kids, right, and this is my favorite thing, as kids we're told to dream, right? Dream big, you know? Little Timmy, have big dreams. I was told to dream big as a kid massively, and my parents have always supported that. But there are people who haven't been as lucky. And so my dreams have always been huge. And it's almost like we get to the age of like 15, 16 into middle school. As soon as we start dreaming and we talk about our dreams, we get laughed at, we get bullied. But that's just because those kids are conditioned by parents who didn't have the chance themselves to dream.
Yeah.
And it's almost like this cycle that's going on. So it's like I'm trying to break that cycle by saying to people, hey, if you actually dream up the dream, visualize it, put the plan in place and just go for it, you can make it happen. That's how all of this happened. It didn't just remarkably just like out of the air. It's because I just went to be able to get to where I need to be in this dream vision, I have to do X, Y, and Z. And then it's like, oh, okay, I've done all that now. Next is to push the next level. So
Coming up with a plan and then executing on it. And it's like, this is step one. Do step one, okay? And
the amount of people who go like, oh, what's the plan? I will tell them the plan. This is how you do it. And then they don't do it. I'm like, this is the secret formula, guys.
Yeah.
It's literally do it. Absolutely. And don't be scared. Like, don't be afraid. Oh, I'm going to post this photo of myself. What if it gets like 10 likes? You've touched 10 people's lives.
Yeah. Mm.
10 people have liked your post? Yes.
Yeah.
150 people liking a post because of a selfie is like... Congratulations for your face. Awesome. But what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, put out there. Don't be afraid to put stuff out there.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it's really powerful.
With people that have a dream and they have a goal and they want to get to a certain point, I think you have to be selective with who you sort of talk about that with, because there's so many people out there that want to just crush your dreams.
Oh, mate.
If you don't have, like, a definite, I am doing this no matter what anybody says, if you're sort of, like a wishy-washy, cloudy view of where you want to go, and then you say, oh, you know, I'd really like to do this, and somebody goes, oh, you wouldn't be able to do that, you suck. And it's like, okay.
I'm so, you know what I mean? I'm lucky that my parents supported that. Like, they'd bring me down to reality a little bit and be like, global pandemic, Nat. But I just, I remember running into the living room, and I was like, I'm going to open a gym. I'm going to open a studio. I'm going to do it. And she, mom's like, are you okay? And then she's like, come up with a plan, then talk to us. Because my parents are very supportive, but they're very smart people. And we came up with the plan, and we needed somewhere to go. And because, like, getting a space, we could lay the mats down and be shut down. We don't know how long we're shut down for.
Yeah.
And then you got all those overheads, and then my business is dead. And then so I started, obviously, my job. The day of the lockdowns, I started working in a gym, this gym. The day that the lockdown started, I was very lucky to still work for this place because I was doing their socials at that point. They started doing editing and videos and photos. So that kept me employed during the pandemic. And so my then small business, I was still running my clients online. They were training at home. So I still had the online business. So I just put everything away. I shoved every single penny away. And then once we were able to reopen again, I just went hard. I was just like, I want to make this dream come true because I said, I'm going to do this in 12 months. And then I went to my parents, I think it was in October or November, and like my workplace wasn't very supportive where I was at. It was quite horrible. And so I would call it dream crushing. And I then went, I'm done. How do I get out of this? And then I remember I sat down with my parents and my mum said, well, the lease is up for, because we own the house that I'm in now. The lease is up for the tenant that's in there in, I think she said, end of February, start of March. I said, no way. And so that's 12 months. I said, does she want to resign? And she didn't. She really wanted to move. And we're like, okay. Mm-hmm. So then we then shift, like, I then quit my job. I bought all my equipment outright. I have zero overheads, zero loans, nothing.
Well done.
No debt. And then, yeah, as soon as it, I think it was like mid-March, start of April, hit the ground running. Wow. And it has been incredibly successful. The amount of people that told me doing this out the front of your house will not work was insane.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
People and now we're here.
Love to give
now
advice on stuff that they
haven't. I know. I mean, it's scary running a business from the front of your house, your house, but it's really good, actually. Like, people are really respectful. But, like, if I listened to a single thing that anyone had said, I would never be where I am now. That's why Mute the Noise is on the back of a T-shirt, because it's, like, it's just noise. Mm. And that's the thing that people need to, like, they'll, like, one thing for me, my anxieties was listening to people that were anxious themselves about growth. They weren't ready to take steps. Mm. And by being around that, it made me not want to take that step. So it's really important. And I can't stress enough to just, you know, we talk about looking at, you know, social media digesting and stuff. Mm. Same as people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're the average of the five people you spend time with.
Absolutely.
And that seems to matter whether it's in person or online. And I think a lot of people, one of the people they're spending too much time with may be Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
What they're getting from that might not be what they think they're getting.
Yeah, and, it's not real, is it?
Yeah.
It's not real. And that's the thing. Like, we consume so much fake every day without even realizing it.
Mm.
And it's like nutrition isn't just your food. It's like your consumables aren't just your food. Your consumables are what you're looking at, what you're listening to, the music you're listening to, the books you're reading, the person you're listening to on social media, you know, your YouTube, all of that is a consumable. And it's like the moment I snapped out of just listening to the crap out there, I went, hang on, no.
Mm.
And it's like there are people out there doing really amazing things that aren't big names and they do amazing things. And it's about listening and looking at people who are like-minded. And it's really hard. Like, I've got friends who are massive go-getters and they just take the risks, they do the thing, and they love doing multiple things, like you.
Mm.
And then I've got friends who are super chill, and I love that balance. Mm. But the thing is that, like, yeah, what you listen to and what you consume is it's what, you know, really dictates your mindset.
It can be something you have to sort of learn as to who you can trust with certain topics. And it's like you sort of test the waters with people, and it's like you might be talking about, you know, say the gym, and it's like, you know, I am doing this, and then it's like, and depending on what they say back is like whether it shows me what I can sort of frame this conversation around. Because if I'm trying to steer the conversation in terms of like, hey, I want to talk about this, it'll be fun, or this is interesting. And then it's like this response is like the complete opposite. It's like, okay, it's not going there. With that, like, hey, I want to achieve something. Like, I always appreciate having read Stephen King's book, you know, the author, on writing. It was an autobiography. And he said, if you want to be a writer, just start writing something. Because go and write a book. Because who cares if it's no good? Because by the end of it,
You'll be
a better writer than when you started.
Exactly.
And he goes, and then write another one. And he goes,
so many people are afraid to even put that pen to paper. Yeah. Like, even the like some people are like, oh, I've got this idea. It's like, tell me about it.
Mm.
Let's do it. And they're like, oh, I don't have money. It's like, you don't need money.
Just start. What are you doing now? This is the
thing. Like, I started this completely dead set broke. And I needed a new camera lens. So then I started using my very old camera. And then I started selling my photography, and then I was able to buy a new lens. I was like,
"Found a way. You find a way.
Nothing is ever impossible. I don't believe in that. Nothing is ever over. Everything is possible." It's like I used the analogy on a social media post yesterday. And I was like, "This is so lame, but I love it." You know, how you cut a tree down, you think it still grows back, right? It might take time, but it grows back. You rip a plant out of the ground, and then you just leave it there. It can take someone with the most gentlest hands to repot that plant, and it can grow back. It just needs that nurturing. So I look at those sort of analogies, and that's like where the designs for the apparel launch have come from, is like looking at my life. So it's like, if you're afraid to do it, do it. If it scares you, do it. That's like my favorite saying. If it literally scares you to the point you're like, I want to quit, that means it's right.
Yeah, that's where you're going to get the most growth.
Because that's exactly where you're going to get the most growth. Well, I had that moment when my dad put the mats down in one of the rooms. I was like, I can't do this. And I was like, oh, my God, Nat, shut up. Yes, you can. And it was just like, it was really intense. Like,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
you're like, you know, you start judging yourself for your size as a personal trainer. It's like, I'm skilled. Is this good enough? Is this good enough? Should I post about this? And it's like, just do it.
Yeah. Well, the people that live that safe life, you can see where it's like, I say, look, in 20 years, you know where you're going to be because you're going along this course and it's leading you there very slowly. You're
having this year 20 years.
That's right.
The 20, it's 20
like
times.
That job's going to be the same perpetual job as it is now. Like, it's always going to be. But if you want to take these risks, you really want to achieve something, it's like that's going to be up and down. But it's like you might have these huge highs, but you might have these huge lows. And it's like, but it's a lot more exciting and you'll learn so much more.
And that ride, the high and low ride, is like that's something that I want to be able to teach people about, is that the highs are super high. You're going to have so many wins, but you're going to have losses and you're going to make mistakes and you're going to mess up and you're just going to be like, is this even worth it? And it's like messing up in the case of undercharging. You undercharge your value. You're then putting in jeopardy your business, you know, the roof over your head. And, you know, respect, all of those sort of things. And I'm just like, man, in like my space has only been open for like 6 months now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been PTing for just over 2 years and powerlifting for quite some time. So I'm just like, whoa, like all of this could have come crashing down if I didn't start owning my business and owning who I was, which a lot of PTs don't do. They get really scared. They get scared also by like high rent rates and all this other stuff. Like it's quite a hard industry. But there's so many PTs that like drop off because it just gets hard. And I'm like, guys, you were about to have your breakthrough. So when it's hard is exactly when it's about to get better. You push. There was a day where I was like, I was sitting crying in the studio because I was like, oh my God, this is really intense because you're your own accountant, social media, you have to do your own marketing, and then like everything it's else behind the you. Scenes, you have to be doing it.
You're everything.
There's no one to call you.
You're the social media chick, but you're also the cleaner. It's everything and everything in between.
As well. Man, so it's like you have to be prepared for it, and if it scares you, do it. And it's like it just then become really routined and structured, and that's something that, you know, like Rob Bailey talks about a lot. And I listened to him a lot when I was really sick, his YouTube videos and stuff like that. And that man's work ethic is nuts. Like I look at a lot of people in the fitness industry and he was someone who was like, he and Dana was like serious leaders for a long time. Like Warhouse Gym. Like I looked at what, like they ended up having to close Warhouse, which was really sad. But like Flag No Fail, look at the message behind Flag. Like no defeat, no surrender. And that's pretty aggressive. Like, I'm like fairies and unicorns and stuff. I love that stuff. I'm like, so I'm not as aggressive as that. But, like, I looked at what Rob did and his ability to inspire, you know, thousands of people with Dana. And I said, I really aspire to be able to help people like that. And so, over a period of time, it's literally just led to now. And, like, I'm a really intense person. I mean, obviously, I rock up in a costume. So, like, it's like I don't do things by halves ever. It's like cooking. When you cook something, you cook it to perfection. Then once it's done, you then have the plating. Once you plate it, you make the plate look good. You garnish it no matter how much time you have to do it. So quality has always been something like my entire life.
At the center of what you do. Yeah. And now what does the future hold for you?
Oh, man. So the future. I've been doing this like this like I'm not big on business mentoring, right? That's the whole rage at the moment. But I started mentoring with someone recently and he's over in the US and his main thing was dream. Dream, like literally spend the next 4 weeks dreaming. There's tasks and stuff each week we had to do. And it was just like a really quick 4 week course. I'm in week three and by the end of week one, my entire mind had been reset just from doing this dreaming work.
Wow.
So it's 30 minutes of like just dreaming every single day. And so I started doing that, but I do it on the Stairmaster now because it's painful. And I'm in this world when I'm on that thing and it's just like the music's on, it's really loud. I don't listen to stuff with lyrics. Like I did the other day to the Interstellar soundtrack. Oh my God, it was amazing. So from the minute that timer started, I'm going to dream about my future. And I'm not going to have my phone on. I'm not going to be able to see it or anything. I'm going to set that timer for half an hour and just going to keep going. And I dreamed I wanted to see what my life looked like. Who was in my life? The people around me. Okay, I've dreamt about that. What do I want for my family? What do I want for myself? What does my life look like as soon as I open my eyes? What do I see when I open my eyes? Do I want to fly an airplane? Yes, I do want to fly an airplane because I've always wanted to be an X-wing pilot, so I'm going to fly an airplane. So I'm dreaming about my perfect day off, and then I'm dreaming about then going into work, and then, you know, the front doors, what the front doors of this building looks like, and I can fucking see it, man. And I'm just like, I'm stepping through the future. And that's why movement has been super important. From the moment I wanted to change my life when I was like 140 kilos to now, and that movement and being on those stairs, I was almost stepping into that future every moment and dreaming. I dreamt for half an hour, and then when it finished and I didn't realize it'd been half an hour, I was like, holy shit. It was amazing. It was really powerful. I seriously recommend people do that because it was the most empowering moment. I started doing that a couple weeks ago too, but like only really focused and intense like in the last past like week or two. Whoa. I saw my future. It was crazy.
So if people love your story, love what you've done and want to be a part of your future, how can they reach out to you?
Instagram's
the way. How can they find you?
I love the gram. So there's Stone Strength PT or there's my private account, which is Nat Strong Hobbit, which is...
Oh, man. Yeah. I like how you paused before saying
I've had that for years. I've had that handle for years. And that's because my friend...
Oh, don't give it up now.
I won't. I won't. One of my good mates, Luke, called me a hobbit once. And I was like, oh, I'm going to change it to Nat Strong Hobbit. And so I changed it to Nat Strong Hobbit. So, yeah, Nat _ Strong _ Hobbit _ Like, I'm that back then, but I can't change it. So, yeah.
And if people want to check out the website again, how can they do that?
StoneStrengthPT.com.au.
Fantastic. So, if anybody's out there and wants to know more about Nat Stone, what she's doing and her everything that she's got planned for her massive, beautiful future, and if you even perhaps want to be some small part of that, then all you have to do is head over to the handles and over to the website and you can find out more today.
Thank you, guys. Like, I really appreciate the chance to like come and speak about it, because there are so many people out there who are struggling with their mental health, struggling to get off the couch, struggling to know their worth. They think they're worthless because of their weight, how they look, their job, their car, anything. That I hope that someone listening today is going to be able to go, you know what? I can change my life. So if you seriously just want someone to just say, hey, help me, I will help you. That's it. That's the deadline. Because all I needed when I started doing this, I just needed someone to listen. And that moment where someone listened was everything. So you're never alone. No matter what anyone says, you're never alone.
Amazing. Beautiful words.
Thank you so much for coming
in. Own your strength. There we go.
Fantastic. Natalie Stone. Check her out on Instagram. Thank you, everybody. Daily Combat Podcast. Thanks a lot.
A whole lot more coming up soon. Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to the Daily Combat Podcast. Special thanks also go out to our main sponsor, Real Estate Agents Group. This company is growing to become one of South Australia's largest independent real estate groups. With their board of directors with over 100 years of collective real estate industry experience, Real is for real people by real people. Check them out on Facebook under Real Estate Agents Group or visit their website, urbanandruralsales.com.au. The Daily Combat Podcast is proudly brought to you by Dave Stockbridge, Isabella Rossitano, and Hollywood Matt Connolly. Make sure to give us a 5-star review, as this helps us to continue to promote combat sports in Australia and around the world. You can find out more information about the podcast at dailycombatnews.com. You can also follow us on all social media platforms with full video episodes available on YouTube. Just search the Daily Combat Podcast. Thank you again for listening from all of us here at the Daily Combat Podcast team.